You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
And today we are talking to Rod Oram. Morena Rod, how are you this morning?
Oh, Marina, very, very well, thank you.
Now, I'd like to start by talking about the UK's new Prime Minister, Liz Truss, who has taken over from Boris Johnson. Let's start simply. Who is Liz Truss and what's her political history?
She has been very involved in politics from a teenager and then into youth wings of parties. But she started as a liberal and has gradually in the party and has gradually gone further and further right. So now she's sort of channeling Margaret Thatcher in some respects and is very hard right. She's also been quite opportunistic on issues. So she was initially very strongly opposed to Brexit. She was campaigned for the Remainers, but has now become a very strong advocate for Brexit. She says the job's essentially done, which isn't. There's all sorts of issues around Northern Ireland, for example. She's held a number of major posts, most recently Foreign Secretary, but she's been in those posts only a very short time. She's shuffled through a number of posts quite quickly, and she gets very mixed reviews for her performance in them. So there's one last mystery, well, there's a mystery about her. She has a husband, but very few people know his name, and he has hardly popped up anywhere in this campaign or in her political life. The Prime Minister's spouse is something of a mystery to the British public.
Right.
But at one level, that's entirely their personal choice, and I respect that privacy, but it does make people slightly curious about her, and inevitably, I suppose.
Yes. What's the response to her taking over the leadership been like in the UK? Because she's taking over at a time of huge turbulence. There's strikes, the cost of living crisis and inflation, the climate crisis with the droughts that we've just seen over the summer. How are the public and the media responding to Liz Truss?
Well, first of all, there's a great deal of cynicism because she's the fourth prime minister in 6 years, as we've shuttled from the end of Cameron into May and then on to Johnson and now her. And in the latest poll out earlier in the week, only 12% of the people polled expect Truss to be a good or great leader. Those are exact terms. While 52% expect to be poor or terrible.
Oh,
so
wow.
She comes into this with very, very low expectations. And that's even amongst people in the Conservative Party. So on one hand, that's a great bonus for her because the downside of disappointing people doesn't seem very great. And so whatever she does that works would seem to be upside for her. So there is a very great deal of cynicism. What she's proposing is a very unorthodox mix of policies, particularly economic ones. So she intends to slash taxes, but spend a vast sum of money on subsidizing high energy prices to put a cap on those. The starting figure is about £100 billion on current costings, but then also ramp up defense spending by 1% of GDP, cut real wages by breaking strikes and weakening unions. She already suggested that civil servants out in the provinces away from London should have their pay cut, but that was very robustly pushed back on, so she dropped that idea during her leadership campaign. But at the same time, demanding the Bank of England tighten monetary policy. That's a strange mix of policies. You could sort of imagine that if that was all pulled off, it might work. But it's not instilling a great deal of confidence from the outset. And then the other factor is her first cabinet, which she's just appointed, very much relies on people and allies close to her. They're a very mixed bunch in terms of how limited their cabinet experience is. And a number of very capable people from the cabinet have lost jobs. it's not clear whether some of them were offered lesser jobs and they declined them, or whether they just weren't approached at all. You know, inevitably, a prime minister gathers some people close to them into high-level jobs, but it's also important to be able to build a coalition of support within the cabinet and across the party. And judging by this first cabinet that she's named, she has gone for a tribal approach to this rather than a coalition approach to it.
Mm. Do you have any predictions of what this means for the Conservative Party in Britain? We've had over a decade of their leadership. Do you think, what does this mean for the future of the Tories?
I think internally the Tories are very, very conflicted, and for some of them are beginning to have, and some polls show this, beginning to have second thoughts of some of the positions that have been held. But the crucial thing is the next election is Labour's to lose by not campaigning well enough. There's strong support for them, and Keir Starmer, the leader of the Labour Party, who's been a bit of a slow burn in terms of, he's proved himself very well in Prime Minister Question Time because he's an ex-former chief prosecutor. So he's been quite inquisitorial in Question Time. But he's been a bit of a slow burn in terms of trying to build sort of confidence and sort of voter support more widely. He's beginning to get that now. So what Labour's going to be pushing for is to push as an early, to make life as difficult as possible for the Truss government, and thus force an early election.
Mm.
And very interestingly, you know, for generations, election timing was entirely in the hands of the ruling party, or when they failed to operate. Then there was a short period, the UK had a fixed parliamentary term, but that was dropped a few years back now. So an election could take place any time that the Truss government feels it wants to go to the polls to try and cement its position. But on current opinion polls, it wouldn't want to do that. But on the other hand, it's up to Labour and the rest of the opposition to try and force the government to make a whole bunch of mistakes, and then, you know, an election, you know, feels more likely.
Mm.
So I think it's going to be a very rocky time ahead.
Now, before we let you go this morning, I do want to talk about the tragic flooding that we're seeing in Pakistan. A third of Pakistan underwater, 33 million affected, and over 1,000 people have died. How have leaders around the world responded to this?
There has been, I think, a real sense of shock about the scale of it. I mean, the volume of monsoon rains has been completely off the chart. I mean, like 1,000% increase. I mean, these are numbers in some areas. These are numbers that are very hard to comprehend. I still think, though, that by and large, the response from the global community hasn't been anywhere fulsome enough. And this tragedy will obviously go on. Death and illness rates will rise. There'll be large costs of restoring infrastructure and making places habitable. And that's when the real test will be to see how much aid Pakistan attracts. This is really important because going in for its own sake, we're only now less than a couple of months away to COP27, the next round of United Nations climate negotiations, which this year are being held in Egypt. So it's only the second time COP's been hosted in Africa. The other one was in Marrakesh. The big question of loss and damage, i.e., you know, you rich countries have created this climate crisis, we're suffering the loss and damage, you need to pay for this, is a subject that has just not been embraced at COP. There was a bit of an attempt last year at Glasgow, didn't go very far. But Egypt and the rest of the African continent are determined to put loss and damage front and center at this COP. So I think that's going to be an incredibly important thing to watch in Egypt in the middle 2 weeks of November.
Well, thank you very much for your time this morning, Rod Oram. It's always great to have you on the show, sharing your thoughts, and we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, Zoe. See ya.
Ka kite.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.